Welcome to the Content and Media Matters podcast, a series of interviews with key leaders throughout the industry, all brought to you by the Content and Media team at Newco, a specialist global recruitment and executive search firm.
Welcome to the Content and Media Matters podcast. Your hosts today are me, Tegan Villaney, Managing Consultant, and Abby Burnham, Associate Consultant. And we are delighted to be joined by Meghna Krishna, Chief Revenue Officer at Videoverse. Growing up, Meghna had many career ambitions, such as working as a fashion designer, businesswoman, architect, dancer, and painter. However, Meghna started her career in San Francisco as a marketing communications manager for Valisert, before working at both Walmart e-commerce and HomeShop 18. A lover of travel, Meghna moved to Switzerland as Global Head of Distribution Market Development for Vorwerk Group in 2016, before moving to India to work as VP of Growth for Yatra and then VP of Global Strategic Alliances for Rats the Game. In 2020, mid-pandemic, Meghna became CRO at Magnify before becoming Group Chief Revenue Officer for Videoverse in 2022, where she is now. Welcome to the show, Meghna.
Oh, thank you, Tegan. That was, that's a good reminder of the journey I've had all these years. Thank you for that introduction.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And to get us started, we always ask our guests the same thing. Why and how did you first come into the content and media industry specifically?
Well, I think I've always had a tryst with the content and media industry, right? I started my career. I used to work and develop TV shows for the Indian community living in the US. So I spent a few years in the media doing that. And then I spent a lot of time at Network 18, which is one of the largest media companies in India, and actually is the company that owns CNBC, CNN in India. So I was working very closely with them, and I was in the TV. I was on the broadcast side of things. And then and the other thing is that I love technology. So, you know, as you grow and you see problems, I'm always looking for solutions for those problems. And then because I'd spent so many years in media, I realized that I could see what the issues were. And it was interesting when I came across Videoverse. They were offering the exact solution that I had been looking for a few years before I joined them. So that I found very interesting.
Yeah, I hadn't realized that. That is brilliant. Well, Abby, let's dive a little bit more into the past, and I'll pass over to you.
Yes. So Meghna, as you know, it's really important to have mentors in your career. Who would you say has been the biggest influence on your career?
Well, I it's funny, I never have straight answers to anything, but I feel I find mentors in every path. So growing up, I really looked towards my mom, who, you know, she was a housewife, but she always made me feel that I could be or do anything I wanted to do. And I think that was the biggest influence in my life. And I saw her doing that. She was a force to reckon with. She ruled with an iron fist. Like, she was the person in the house and she managed everything so well. So, you know, I thought, that's the person I want to be. And then she'd tell me stories about being an architect and being and traveling the world. And you know, that's what fascinated me. So growing up, that was that. But, post that, I got married. And before I got divorced, it's funny, but sometimes when we talk about mentors, it's all positive, but you learn a lot of things that you should not do or I would not do from people, from the experiences you've had. So I saw my ex-husband do things a certain way. He was a very hardworking man, and I grew up, you know, I took life easy. So I learned hard work from him. Through the various jobs I've had, people who I've learned literally when I started in the workforce, I didn't know anything. So my first boss, Eric Lewis, he was amazing. And you know, he was my first mentor. Then our CEO at HomeShop, we worked very closely together. And I learned ABC of sales from him. So throughout my career, I've had many mentors, but I've also learned from people who've reported into me, right? So there are certain things that people do really well. I had a girl who was killer at negotiation, and you know, I was terrible at it. So I would sit down with her and just watch her negotiate, and I learned. So I think there's a learning opportunity in everything you do and everyone you meet with.
I love that, and love what you're saying as well about the kind of different lessons that you can learn from different people in your career and in your life outside of work as well. And you say that if 20-year-old Meghna saw you now, they'd say, "Who are you, and what did you do to Meghna?" But what achievement would you say you're most proud of?
So, like I said, I grew up in a very non-challenging environment, you know. So it was, everything came easy. It was life was easy. So I never learned how to work hard, to the extent that if my college roommates saw me, they thought I never studied. They never thought I would attend a lecture and I knew what was happening. So I never had to work hard. But I think now my purpose in life is to grow, and you'll see the answer to one of those questions, right? What do I want to be? What I don't have is, I want to be famous. I want to change the world for the better. And I don't mean famous as in, you know, my face should be on billboards across the city, but just, you know, somebody who's respected in my field.
No, I love that. And yeah, I certainly to see that impact in what you're doing as well is so important. And you've worked in many strategic and growth roles across your career. What lessons in particular have you learned that you now pass on to your team?
I think ownership is the biggest thing. And I feel that if you take ownership and you do not look for scapegoats, I feel people who've succeeded is because they've taken ownership of what they're doing and what they're supposed to deliver. Do not feel they depend on others for success. And that to me was the biggest lesson. The other is, and which I think comes out of ownership, is perseverance and tenacity. I mean, just if you believe in something, go after it.
No, 100%. Really, really great advice. Really nice to kind of hear a little bit more about where you've come from and your background. But let's move in and look a little bit more at the present day. Tegan, over to you.
Yeah, Meghna, there's been so much change and shifting sands in the industry. I mean, it's an industry that never really stays still, right? But there's been a lot of acquisitions. Do you think the industry will go through more acquisitions in the coming years?
Well, I think every industry goes through a phase, right? Where, because there's so much new development, everybody wants to be in the industry. Everybody wants to be where the new and the latest stuff is happening. And that is what's happening to our industry as well. And as we grow, the nature, the way nature moves is consolidation, and it's going to be survival of the fittest. People will find great technologies that they want to acquire and that fit into their businesses. But I think that's just a normal course of an industry that's growing really fast. So yes, absolutely, there are going to be more acquisitions in the future.
Yeah, I completely agree. And thinking about the future, as you touched on there, what role do you think the metaverse is going to play as we, you know, move forwards in the years to come?
Well, see, what's happened is everyone, and especially Gen Y and Gen Z, are very interested. They're not a passive audience. They are very interactive. They want to know more. They're a very curious generation, and Metaverse brings that to them. So being involved, being a part of the programming, being part of the content is what they want. And as it is, I think their life revolves around content, right? And I call myself, I'm quite old. So I, you know, we'd go to the playground. That's where we met our friends, and that's where we made friends. That's where we spent our free time. Today's generation is spending free time on their computers, on their phones. And if that is where the interactivity is going to come from, then Metaverse is going to play a very important role. Now, it depends on how fast the technology can grow, how fast the, because it requires a lot of bandwidth, how fast the chips can grow and adopt that. So it's a matter of time. I don't think it's a question of if, it's a question of when.
Yeah, I completely agree on that. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And how wonderful that we'll be here to see it, I hope. We couldn't talk with you without talking around the conversation around sports and AI. So, Abby, I'm going to pass the microphone back to you to pick up our topic that matters.
Yeah, so as Tech said, our topic that matters this week, we, of course, had to pick up on artificial intelligence. How do you see AI changing content creation and OTT streaming moving forward?
Well, I think the change has already begun, right? A lot of the customers that we're working with, we create automated highlights that are developed by AI. And there's obviously there's a human in the loop in the sense that there's constant feedback cycles being developed. But again, like I said, there's so much requirement of the content. There's so much requirement of data and analysis and interactivity that it's humanly impossible to be able to service the requirements that are increasingly coming forward. So AI is already essentially becoming a big part. And I would say anyone who's not using currently AI for video analysis needs to catch up really fast, because that is where it's moving to. That is the only way you'll be able to generate the volume of content, the quality of content, and the speed at which the content has to be produced. And that's where it comes into play. The second part is personalization, right? Because today I'm more interested in watching a content that appeals to me. I don't want to be scrolling through 500 pieces of content to find the one thing that I'm interested in. And again, individual understanding of individual, understanding of your customers, being able to focus on what they might need is going to be an essential part of servicing the content requirements by the rights holders, and hence the need for AI. And I could go on because, you know, in terms of serving advertising, in terms of merchandising, in terms of clickable ads, shoppable videos, all of that is going to be serviced only with technology and AI. Also, the commentary, like being a today, for example, football is not only watched in the 50 countries or 60 countries, it's watched across the world. So translation into various languages, that's being done by AI. So I think AI has now become all encompassing. It's not just in one or two places, it's everywhere you look.
No, definitely. And you've picked up on quite a few different points of kind of how AI is so important in the sports space at the moment. Could you tell us a little bit more about how AI is improving the experience of sports fans across the globe?
Well, I think I touched upon some of that, which is one, if I can get personalized videos, if I can get, if I see ads that I can connect with and I would like to be associated with, then it's already serving a big purpose. But more than that, I think there's personalization, there's interactivity. So anytime, like in the metaverse, NBA had this, right, where you could actually go in and be a part of a game. So that's another part where very interactive and immersive. It's an immersive experience that you can have where you're sitting at your home and you are actually being, you feel like you get the same experience as if you're in a stadium. So those are the few things that are going to come and develop. And that's, so I'm just talking about the future. Obviously, a lot of things have already happened, like simple things like more and more people watching games on social media. And we've seen that, like 52% of the younger generation is saying they're watching sports on social media and they're not even going to the broadcaster or the apps to watch the game. So that's already changing. And because these games or these highlights are being published in real time, it's easier for them to do that, and they can do that. And then on that, if you can put a layer of data and analysis, that really completes the experience for the user.
No, 100%. And what would you say to the argument that AI replaces creativity?
It depends, right? Because if you say that I'm just going to use AI to do everything, then yes, it would be limited, at least in the way it is created today. I don't know how it's going to develop in the future. However, what I say and we say is it actually enhances creativity because it does the day-to-day, the mundane work for you. And then you have more time as humans to be creative and develop a story around it.
No, I completely agree. And one of the other elements that you touched on slightly is how does AI help with the monetization of content?
Well, again, so I'll give you a simple example, right? If you're serving ads, if you're serving ads as per the customer requirements, as what is it is what they want to see and not something that's not they cannot relate to, they're more likely to see it, they're more likely to interact with it, and they're more likely to get monetization out of it. That's one part of it. Two, because with AI, you can actually get the highlights to the sports fans earlier and sooner, they are more likely to watch it. If it's coming half an hour after the game is over, we know that the value of a game really goes down every minute after the game is over. So if it's happening in real time, you can monetize it far more. Also, I think what we are seeing is a lot of youth sports and sports teams that were not earlier anywhere online on social media are now coming on social media and online because they can afford to, and there are viewers for that. We've had a recent youth organization that publishes youth games on social media and their app, have their viewers gone up from 25,000 to 300,000 within a matter of 2 months because they were being able to publish highlights. And that is huge monetization. It's right there.
Yeah, and it all comes back to what you were saying about improving that interaction and with the content that you're putting out there. And really fascinating kind of conversation around that. Moving on to another core topic that we always like to discuss, diversity.
Thank you, Abby. I could hear you talk about AI and sports for such a long time, but it's always brilliant. In fact, I was thinking earlier, it's incredible that this is a podcast in the industry with three women on it. That just doesn't happen very often, right? It's absolutely brilliant. How, though, have you seen diversity change throughout your career?
Sadly, I have not seen a change. I feel, especially in the sports tech industry, even today when I go to conferences, I'm one of the very few women. And I actually have fun with my colleagues and say, because they put me on podcasts and panel discussions, so like I'm the token non-white woman, and that's why I'm in part of all these discussions. However, having said that, I think that's all right. I think we should not look at things from a lens of diversity, but who's the most qualified for that role and who has interest in that particular area or industry. And I strongly believe that. I myself have, I think most of my team, I'd say 60% are women and 40% are men, but it was never a deliberate effort to do that. It was always whoever we thought was the best to be able to service the customers or to do the role that they were hired to do. And that's what I urge everyone in the industry to do, is to hire the best person and not look at the color of the skin or their gender or anything else. And that should itself solve most of the diversity problems.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you or what would you say to somebody who may be experiencing imposter syndrome? And that goes beyond your where you've come from, your sexuality, your race, your gender, but it's a big problem, right, for people as they come up through the industry. To somebody who was feeling like they're not good enough or they're not able to contribute as well as their colleagues, what would your advice be to that person?
I think the imposter syndrome comes from a level of insecurity, and insecurity comes from lack of confidence, and lack of confidence comes from lack of knowledge. So I would say read up, gain knowledge on the industry you're in, and that'll give you the confidence to be a better participant or contributor to the industry.
Absolutely. There's always something we can do, right, to be bettering ourselves, whether that's studying, ask your colleagues questions, go and find the knowledge that you need. As you said, I want to be respected in my field. It shouldn't matter where you come from. That can absolutely be anybody's goal.
Absolutely. And that comes from knowledge, and knowledge comes from communication, from reading, from being part of industry events and talking to people.
Well, thank you for your thoughts there. And Abby, let's find out a little bit more about Meghna outside of work.
Yes. So we've talked a lot around your career, but I'm sure our listeners would like to get to know you as a person as well. So we always like to ask, how would you describe your perfect weekend?
I'm very lazy. So because the weekdays are generally very busy, both my son and I, we take lots of food, and I love cooking because I love eating. So we cook lots of food, and then we binge on TV, and we eat lots of good food, desserts. But I also love traveling. So, you know, my perfect weekend would probably be on a beach somewhere, laying on a chair, drinking some Mai Tais and not doing anything.
Sounds incredible to me. Taking back to you for our quick fire round.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I can't help but ask, what's your favorite dish to cook?
You know what? That's a good question. And again, like I said, I never give straight answers, but I love eating. I love food. So for me, and it depends, you know, when I'm hungry, I'll have a full cooked meal and I'm like, no, I feel like eating this. And I'll go in the kitchen and I'll whip up something completely new because I just feel like eating that. So I love baking. So my favorite things to make is just desserts and cakes and cheesecake and you know, experimenting with food. But obviously I don't do that as much anymore because then I end up eating it.
That's the problem, isn't it? That is the problem. Well, let's jump into our quickfire round. So no clues, you're gonna have to think on your feet. So to kick things off, would you rather start work late or leave work early?
Leave work early.
Messy desk or clean desk?
Messy desk.
Facebook or Twitter?
No social media.
Same as me, actually. No social media outside of work. People or animals?
People.
Would you rather win the lottery or find your soulmate?
Find my soulmate.
Emails or conversations?
Conversations.
Words or actions?
Actions.
Smartphone or tablet?
Smartphone.
Reading the book or seeing the movie?
It used to be reading a book, now it's seeing a movie, sadly.
Mm-hmm. Ambition or comfort?
Ambition.
Passion or stability?
Passion.
Wonderful. Well, that almost concludes today's episode. And Abby, I'll just pass over to you for our final question.
Yeah, so we always ask the same question to wrap up our podcast, and that is, what is one piece of advice you would give to someone who is entering the industry?
I think in any industry, it's not just this industry, but learn about the industry. Get to the, you know, learn every nuance of the industry, understand what makes people tick, what's the new technology that's being introduced, what the workflows look like, who does what, and make yourself comfortable in the industry, because it's not going to happen overnight. You're going to learn it slowly, and you're going to build relationships slowly. So don't be in a hurry. Set yourself up for success, read a lot, talk to people, get a mentor who can advise you on how the industry works, work hard.
Thank you so much, Meghna. Thank you for your time. It's been fantastic to hear your thoughts and your insights, and a real pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Abby and Tegan. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. And I know I started with saying I don't talk much, but apparently I did talk a lot. So that breaks that myth. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you enjoyed it, please do subscribe and give us a rating. It really helps these stories to be found and enjoyed by more people. For more information about NewCo, we can be found at www.newco-group.com. That's NEUCO-group.com.